All right, yay.
Yay! Suburban gays.
Cheers to gay.
Cheers!
Oh my God, hi everybody, it's the Lipstick Lesbians.
It is us.
Christina and Alexis, by the way. Do people just, is it like to have the anonymity of the Lipstick Lesbians? Like, is it nice or is it like sometimes?
I think it's really funny because I think some people don't know who's Alexis and who's Christina.
Yes, some people call me Alexis.
Yeah. I just laugh because I feel bad that they don't necessarily know, but it's all good.
Yeah.
We are one.
I think the name is so badass. I'm just so proud of it.
I know.
I mean, like, I think we were talking about it yesterday, and I was like, honestly, iconic, and I would try and trademark it.
Like, I know.
Be like, you're not taking this away.
I was going to say. Okay,
yeah.
Do not try.
Yeah, nobody gets it. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to bleep that. And you were telling me you had a fight for the handle, right?
Like, yeah. On Instagram. We had a fight for the handle.
Really?
Yes. We did get it, though. I don't know how. There was an account that claimed it, I think, like, when Instagram first came out.
Yeah.
But it was like, there was no way to get in touch with them. I DM'd them. They never got back. And we're just like, Instagram, like, what the hell? Because we had like the Lipstick Lesbians _, but we were using Alexis's handle to really post all of our viral content from TikTok.
Yes.
Oh. Right.
But
so
then,
it was Alexis Androulakis, but then it was confusing because we were a duet.
Yes.
I wanted that to be really clear.
Yeah.
You know, look.
You're always like, Christina, you're in the content too. Forget about you.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really important that people understand there's no way this would happen without Christina at all.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. You guys have branded yourself so well as that duo. So not wanting. And it's almost like when you have to have gotten a success on TikTok and then want to bring it over to Instagram, you know that feeling of like, and I'm this way, I'd rather not show up to the party until I'm ready. Like, because the minute you, let's say you did post something to the wrong account or the one you're not committed to and that blows up, then you have to be like, just kidding. Like, go to the other one. And
totally.
It's like, totally. So we met at a Half Magic event.
Yes.
And
that was the first time.
Then we went on the Rare Beauty brand trip together. But when I saw you guys at the Half Magic event, I, by far the biggest, like, queen out I've had from any other creator in a while, because we talked about it even when you guys burst on the scene, which, is it safe to say it was quick?
It was really quick. It was about quick. A year ago.
A year and 2 months,
I mean,
right?
And we can get into the story too, but December 27th, 2022. And the reason we know that is because it was her dad's birthday. And there's just a four trip. There's a whole story
there's
behind
it. There's
a Jersey trip behind
it,
actually.
There's a Jersey trip behind
it.
That started this all. But
wow. Yeah.
But it was around then.
It felt like for me being on social media at like 2.5 years, it was like you guys were here, and when you were showing up on my page, you were showing up. It wasn't like I discovered you when you were neat. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
and
I didn't realize how viral we were, to be fair.
I have no idea. I also am not a huge content consumer. So like,
she only watches cat videos. No, for real. No joke. It's like all of our For You page. I'm like, Alexis, get a burner account.
You're messing up the algorithm.
Totally. So if you get cat content by watching our stuff, it's her fault.
I'm stopping. I know, I have to.
Yeah.
It's an addiction.
But we were, I mean, I was over, I remember like the day we came to each other and we were like, have you seen them? Because I think us being makeup artists, like when I say, and this is why our audience loves you.
And you both worked in Sephora.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh.
That's really important. I think for that.
Yeah.
He was there for 10 years. Yeah. I was there for like 2, but we overlapped. That's where we met. But our audience loves you because of the educational aspect of beauty. But the way content is now, the kind of beauty content that gets pushed, to see you guys, it was just like, I was like, have you seen them? Because it was so
refreshing.
This market gap now of not only education, but that level of education was unbelievable. So before we go into that, let's back up and talk about you two personally. So when did you meet? Give us your story and then we'll get into the career.
So we met on Tinder, actually, April 9, 2014.
Nice.
Yeah. So it makes sense that like our life is on an app now.
This is literally what she's doing.
Like, you know, we were so trendy.
You know? As we're trying to plan our 10-year anniversary, like little escape, it's actually April 9th. We have screenshots of our first conversation on Tinder.
We do.
Which is really kind of wild when you think about it, because that was 10 years ago.
11 p.m. is when we started talking. I was like, I swear, there is some kismet
there's
something happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, and the mutual interest that we had, because back then, I have no idea how Tinder worked now, obviously, yeah. But back then it was connected to Facebook and it used to like tell you mutual friends or like mutual pages that you liked. So okay. The mutual interest that we had, I guess we both liked this page,
yeah.
Was this page called Crete.
Okay.
Which is an island in Greece, which we're both from.
Yeah.
So when we saw that, I was just like, I remember seeing your profile.
Me too. That was the first question I asked you.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, this girl must be from Crete because why would you like that page otherwise? Yeah. You know?
You have to be Cretan or, you know, associated with that community to like that page.
Yes.
And so she initiated the conversation, and we can send you the screenshot to overlay, but she initiated the conversation and she was like, are you really a Kritikia on Tinder?
Which means, you know, are you really a Cretan girl? From Crete?
Yeah, exactly.
Likes girls. That was exactly. The primary part of the question.
Right, yeah, yeah. But you didn't say that whole thing. I remember this. Yeah. And then I was like, well, I could ask you the same thing. And she's like, I guess you could, but you already know the answer. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the first woman I ever like flirted with. That's the first woman I went on a date with.
Yep.
That's the first woman that, you know, I was in any type of a serious relationship with at all, or any relationship that was anything at all,
really?
Was Christina. And I was, you know, I was in my mid 20s at the time.
Okay.
So it's not like I didn't have an opportunity.
Totally.
I had dated, but we'll use the term dated loosely with, you know, and a lot of Greek men.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't for me. There was nothing ever that was really deep. Mm-hmm. There was nothing ever that really felt good, to be honest, inside like myself, my gut instinct. But the first date that we went on, I didn't even know if it was a date.
I don't know if it was.
It was this like vague decision to meet in the same place in Tribeca for drinks on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
In April.
But we were both interested in each other.
Yeah. Like, let's be it was real, very you know? Clear. Like, but imagine now me sitting down to put makeup on to go hang out with a woman.
Yes.
In this blurred line context. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I don't even know that you could be bisexual at this time.
Like, yeah.
I'm not clear on that existing as an option in the checklist at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, what are women attracted to? This is the train of thought a makeup artist is going through.
Yeah.
Am I going to put the same type of makeup I would put on to go on a date with a man? Right? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes. It's blowing my mind because it's like, really I know you're going to say, it's blowing my mind because us obviously being raging homosexuals, it's like fascinating
to. What are you talking about?
It's fascinating, like you guys, your perspective as obviously queer people as well, but a different gender than us, like the line of thinking is night and day. Like I've never heard it kind of or these kinds of thoughts articulated.
Yeah.
And I called that my beauty renaissance because you have to reinvent yourself in that moment. And the best way to reinvent yourself, you know, in half an hour is makeup.
Yeah.
Of course, I cut my hair. That did happen too.
Yeah, I met Alexis.
Shocked my hair. It was a bob.
That day?
Yep. No. Okay. Was it that day?
She's
I'm about to find out it was that day, but it was that day.
20 minutes before she walked in, she was like.
Yeah. And this dials into when you work in a certain beauty circles, there's clear definitions of beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And what those definitions are.
Yeah.
For me, we're very clear having worked in the makeup industry. I was a retail makeup artist for years at that point. I had just spent my first year in corporate, but I spent 7.5 years on a sales floor knowing what a lesbian, I'm using air quotes, looked like and what a straight girl looked like. So I didn't want people to think I was a straight girl anymore because I didn't know who I was yet.
Yes.
So makeup became this really cool mode for me to rediscover myself, hence the beauty renaissance analogy. Mm. And Christina, actually, when I first met her, I didn't wear lipstick.
Yep.
It wasn't until she saw a photo of me a couple weeks later.
You sent me a photo of you with red lips.
A selfie while I was out. Interestingly, if I was out without her, I had full beat on. And she saw the selfie and said, who's that? Like, excuse me?
Yeah. Like, show her up.
So she gave me permission to show up as my true self.
Wow.
Full face beat, whatever I wanted, you know, at the time. Yeah. I was always a little bit more like lighter weight coverage girl on the makeup face complexion, but blasted out color lips, blasted out eyeshadow.
Yeah.
That was always my thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she gave me permission to be myself.
Well, you had blasted out eyeshadow.
I did.
You just did not have lips.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
It was like this weird. when I met you. Really short hair.
I was confused.
You were definitely was a little confused. I think that's why that day was like a little, the energy wasn't weird because to me it felt like home.
Yes.
You know, also like us both being from Crete. Yeah. We're also from the same place geographically in Crete too, which is the city called Kanya.
Yep.
Funny enough, like Tinder radius miles was like 30 miles to get a match. That was the default. But like she was 29 miles away from me. I remember looking into this, but in Crete, we were like less than a mile away from each other. Yeah. Like that's how wild. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. My husband and I found out we were at the same concert together, probably 10 feet from each other 3 years before we met. Like when we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And it's a why that's so mind-blowing to me is because I think as gay guys in the beauty industry, it's the exact opposite, where it's like at least for me, it was always the hide it all, because masculinity is what's idolized amongst gay men. God. Like,
right.
So it's almost for me, beyond even how you were presenting yourself, it was like, once they found out what I did, that was going to be another. I used to get messages all the time where they, you know, in my bio would say like makeup artist or whatever I did. And they're like, oh, you're really breaking stereotypes, aren't you? And you're like, okay, like they assume you're just Jack from Will and Grace right out of the gate, because it's so, that's so, I never even thought that of like what goes into that decision.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah,
identity. I went on my first date with my current boyfriend, and I said to him, because I was coming out of Sephora.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like I didn't even think about it, but I had like full beat on, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't go on this date.
Right.
Because I'm like, this guy is going to like straight up think I'm, because all my Tinder pictures were no makeup.
Yeah. Right.
Because I felt like I was almost catfishing people, because I'm like, this is not what I look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like putting on lipstick was too, like sometimes too much of a commitment on social media, where I'm like, on my Instagram, it's fine. But like doing this on social media and like dating me with lipstick on, I was like, oh God. And I texted him. I was like, I have a full face of makeup on. Like, I understand if you don't want to come. And he was like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, oh God. And then he was like, why wouldn't I want to go on a date with you? And he's like, I'm sure you look beautiful.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it was just ever really since special. Then, he was like, I think, and we met up and he was like, you look amazing.
Yeah.
But
and
that's
ever
such
since
a big
then,
part of who you are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, imagine having to hide that.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
and I did for years.
Right.
There were, like, I was going on dates and I knew, like, oh, I got to, like, go to work. So, like, tinted moisturizer and that's it.
Girl, yeah. Right. I wore, like, puffy vests.
Yeah,
like I was trying to like butch it up. Like, I really was. Like,
I would never.
I know. Well, you still read me for my flannels, which I like a good flannel. But it was crazy too, because when we started working together like 9 years ago, he to me in that space in the realm of like in Sephora. We were the only two guys, and he was there before I got there, and he always had a full beat on. And it was like, for me, it was miraculous, because I wasn't even comfortable doing that in public yet.
Right.
So I would look at him and I was like, oh my God, like he's so confident with like presenting that way every day. And for me, it was like the opposite, where I was like, then I started to dabble into like, okay, let me do my like boy makeup and whatever. And then because of him, it gave me the confidence to wear a full beat to work. And I think that's what like developed our romance.
Okay. Guys.
So then what did you both do career-wise or even personal lives before social media? So from meeting to you know.
A good decade. We got a lot to cover.
Well, I'll go first.
This is a highlight reel.
Yours is a lot juicier and relevant to this podcast, because I am not from the beauty industry at all. My background's in education. So when I met Alexis, I was actually a high school English teacher at a high school in Brooklyn called Brooklyn College Academy. And I was there for about 8 years until I transitioned over to Central, which is like internal consulting for the New York City Department of Education with technology.
Okay.
At this time, I also pursued my PhD in educational technology. I did successfully defend. Meanwhile,
I'm only laughing because
this is like a very abridged version. But
she also taught at the college level.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did. I'm being humble.
She got her PhD and we launched a business all at the same time.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Holy
hell. So, so I did get my PhD. And then this will dovetail into Alexis's story, but basically, what was it? Like December 2022.
Also what your degree was in. I think that's relevant.
Okay. So my degree, look at her amping me up. My degree was in educational technology and really around teacher preparation. Like what did they miss when it came to technology that's not being taught to kids?
Wow.
Right. And when you think about it, like what we're doing now on this channel is so relevant, because the proliferation of technology is my doctorate hat on. So I'm sorry if it gets really academic, but for real though, the proliferation of technology would happen even with all industries, but specifically with beauty, because it's such a $1 billion industry. Mm-hmm. It's that everything has rapidly gone so quick beyond anyone's intellectual capacity to dig deeper with it. And so what we've seen, the issue that we've seen with technology is that it's so surface. And makeup really is very surface too. So it doesn't go beyond the surface to the intellectual, the depth and what's happened. So we saw that with YouTube. We see mm-hmm. that with TikTok. We see it with Instagram. So what's happening now is we're actually taking a step back and being like, wait a second.
Yeah.
How can we dig deeper with yes. the subject matter? Like, yes, let's go viral, but let's go viral with intent.
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
So which,
love that.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a lot more complex with what I researched with my dissertation, yeah. but it's related in that arena of like, how do we teach yes. effectively with the technology in a way that's deep and intellectual and meaningful that helps yeah. people in their careers too.
Totally.
Right. And so that's why when I look at our channel, I just think it's so interesting because I feel like our channel.
I was your first subject.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. But like.
To teach me how to teach.
Yeah. It was helping you teach how to teach. But I also yeah. think like the eyeballs on our channel are cross-generational. Like we get little girls at Sephora like freak yes. out, you yes. know? And I'm just like, that's so cool. And then we also have like the millennial mom, yes. you know, at the yeah. same time being like, oh my God. And yeah. we're just like. That's awesome. And then we get content creators too. They're just like, oh my God, you guys makeup have taught artists. Me so much. Yes. And makeup artists.
Sephora
and it's like,
employees.
Yeah.
It Ulta spans employees. A whole line of people that just love makeup, but maybe didn't understand some of the whys and hows and whos mm-hmm. and like touches them in such a way. I think that's so beautiful.
Yes.
And I don't know. I get chills about it because I'm just like, wow.
Yes.
You know, like technology is so powerful.
Yeah.
But when not used correctly, it can create the state of numbness. And I think that's what happened in the makeup industry.
Yes.
You know, and I, you know, me
for sure.
not yeah. being a beauty content user, right? Or let me say
consumer.
It again. For me yeah. not being a beauty content consumer, like Alexis and I didn't really watch beauty content.
Yeah.
We just kind of like created our own content of what we
so,
thought
it was so
interesting.
Original. Yeah. That's what I was saying before. It was so original.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
my to see you. And I think the very first one was the NARS powder.
Oh, I'm wearing that powder today.
Yeah. You just made a video about it.
I just replenished.
Yes. And it was like to see that style of content where it was this person, it was like a little documentary-ish where it
yes.
was like, it was
yes.
in the wild in a Sephora store. There was, we heard a voice behind the camera. Then there was this yes. person in front of the camera talking about the product and touching the product. But then the way you were articulating mm-hmm. the product yeah. and exactly the way what you were prompting from behind yeah. the camera, it was this thing.
Yeah.
It's social media gold because mm-hmm. there are so many things to focus on in that 60 seconds
yeah.
of which, okay, I'm hearing two voices, but I can't see one of them. You're talking about the product in a way you rarely hear anybody
You're teaching
speak
people
of.
How to think about
Absolutely.
Beauty.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. You're, it's a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Mm-hmm. You're tricking them into being educated in
yeah.
a way where,
yeah, it's cool.
and by that I mean, yeah, you're for, you know, lack of a better word, you're low, short attention span audience. You're tricking into being like, oh, wait, what's happening?
Like, I didn't even know I had that question.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that that's why I like something like
right,
that
exactly.
or didn't like something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head, even talking about people who work in the industry and content creators, because what does it even feel like? There's such a trend now of the biggest of the big people to anybody is saying like, I love this, but they hit a limit of, I don't know why I love it.
Right.
I need the lipstick lesbians to tell me what this is. Like,
yeah.
how,
which
does
is
that
so cool.
start to feel like? Yeah.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah.
That's been just absolutely crazy. This whole journey has been insane
yeah.
to
yeah.
me. Because it's like, it did blow up pretty quick. Because we were posting on social media before, but it was more like I would take out my phone and record Alexa and be like, hey, baby, what's your favorite thing about being a lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I like trained her to be comfortable in front of the
yeah.
camera. And for the record, the only reason we have the handle.
And this dovetails nicely into ending your
yeah,
background.
Yeah,
and
then, is we did start our beauty brand, Femme Power Beauty, which was the hardest thing we ever had to do.
Wow.
We put all of our money into
while
it.
While Christina's finishing
while
up
I'm doing my
her
PhD. Alexa's
while
taking
teaching.
It was insane.
While I'm
y'all,
consulting, while I was wow. also still working full time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was the hardest thing we ever had to do. And like, we have so much empathy for people that start a brand because like, we know, like
yeah,
we were there,
imagine.
You know, it was so difficult. But in a nutshell, we have that handle because during COVID, I was like, hey, you know, we should really show the behind the scenes of our lives as
yeah.
founders of this lipstick company because
mm-hmm.
we only sold lipsticks. And so I don't know what came over me. I captured at the Lipstick Lesbians. I was like, remember I came home to you?
I will never forget the day you told me. And I was just
yeah.
like, what are we going to do with that?
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And then some people were like, it's very unprofessional. You should change it. And
yeah,
I was like,
a lot
no.
of people said that actually.
Really?
Yes, before any virality.
Before any virality. More so in the, you know, it's not, you know, it's polarizing.
Yes.
People aren't going to want to buy lipstick from lesbians necessarily. Yeah. You're only going to target a lesbian audience. Or we had
so many opinions
tell us
because we were trying to raise for our brand, which we never successfully did.
All kinds of things. And the truth was, you, Christina, stuck by your guns.
Oh my God.
And you said no.
Yeah, no.
We are never changing this handle. This is for us.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think representation is so important. You know, like as we just started this conversation, like I don't think there's a lot of femme lesbian representation, to be honest. I think we have like Chrishell.
Not in the beauty community.
Right. Yeah.
Certainly not in the beauty community. Certainly not on Beauty Talk necessarily.
Yeah, for sure. No. And like, I always wish I saw someone like me out there. You know, I think I would have discovered some things a lot sooner. You know, and also like,
I would have.
To go back to the classroom, like I would also taught in a very heavily Caribbean school. So I couldn't be out. And that had such an emotional toll on me while I was teaching.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, but then when I transitioned to Central, things got better. I got my PhD and then I was like, I just want to be out. Like, I want to get out of this job and I want to like really, the dream was to get our business to like fly, to get that capital to, but that never happened. So in December, I accepted
a
job.
We had to make a new
dream. I accepted a job offer to go to a VR startup and use my education technology degree in virtual reality because I thought that could be a really cool pivot with where education and technology is going. But they let me go 2 months later while we were going viral. And it was the best thing that ever happened.
A year ago.
So we'll pass the mic to Alexis now for everything that's her background.
So it was exactly a year ago, just for context, Christina and I were both unemployed.
Yeah.
We both had $0 coming in and we had a mortgage at the time.
Yeah.
So that was a moment where we as a couple had to make a business decision, but multiple business decisions. Mm-hmm. And we had to calculate, you know, classic, like what's our runway of survival.
And
like,
I didn't get a big severance because I was there for 2 months.
Like
so,
what could we afford to live on to build the new dream? And the new dream was the Lipstick Lesbian Universe.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's where suddenly.
Which was just birthed a month
which
before.
Which was literally birthed a month before. And that's where we had to like ask really hard questions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where we decided to do something that we'd never done before, which was basically just blindly, you know, radical self-acceptance, radical optimism of just, we have nothing to lose. We had nothing left to lose. We, you know,
there were people that wanted to see more.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay,
we're going to give this, you know, a good 4 months, which we did until June. And then June, we did start to finally monetize, which is the gold standard of social media content creation.
And then we're like, okay, can we do this full time?
Right.
And like, so far, knock on wood, like
every day is a surprise.
Thank you. But, it's going. But like, what about your background?
Right. So getting to that place, though, I would have never arrived at the place where I was willing to do that had I not been through everything I had been through previously.
Okay.
And that's the key takeaway for anyone that's listening or watching. The point being, I started at the sales floor. I started as a retail makeup artist. It was 2006. Lord and Failure is what I used to call it. And it's really wild because Lord and Taylor did shut down. And I kind of feel bad about that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was Lord and Failure. And I worked at the Mars counter because nobody could ever pronounce NARS.
Oh, of course.
And some people would call it Channel for Chanel. You know, it was, you know, Bobby Brown, whatever. And like, there was a very different beauty culture at the time in suburban New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Nordstrom, Garden State Plaza, the MAC counter was everything to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the era that like I had grown up in.
Yep.
So I very much similarly to how I kind of stumbled into content creation, I was literally shopping at Lord & Taylor. A Greek woman was the head department manager. And that's how I got my first job.
Wow.
At NARS.
Yeah.
She knew me. She knew my mom. She got me an interview.
Yeah.
And that's how it always goes, right?
You
know someone.
Yeah.
And I stayed with NARS for almost 8 years.
Wow.
The crazy part about that was I worked in pretty much every role at retail you can.
Yeah.
And I offered during my last stint as a business manager at NARS, I offered to go intern in the city for free. Now, while I was at the NARS counter, I had gotten my degree from FIT.
Okay.
Cosmetics and Fragrance Marketing. I knew I wanted to work in corporate beauty.
Yep.
I would just flip over every single package and I started reading where it was made. And at the time, NARS was predominantly made in the US.
Yeah.
And I actually knew the manufacturer because they were in Queens.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore, but that's the early days of the 90s NARS, I call it. So I would know when like new batches of Laguna and Orgasm Blush would come in, like testers, and I would know, oh, this feels different than the last one. Oh, this has more shimmer. That's where the obsession for me began. And that's where I started flipping over the boxes.
Yeah.
Was at the makeup counter. And then FIT happens. I go through, you know, all these years of working, interning, hustling, really,
yeah.
To do everything I can to break into corporate. I get a job interview to go intern for free at NARS in the city.
Okay.
Turns out they were opening up a coordinator position, which meant entry level, which meant I had a shot in hell at my first ever dream.
Yes.
I interviewed the whole entire team. It looked like I was a strong candidate to get this first job into NARS corporate. It would have been like the best Cinderella story.
Yeah.
I didn't get that job. That was one of the worst, most painful moments of my life because I was so attached to one single outcome.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that was the only way to make a difference. Like that was the only plan.
Yes.
And this is where I started to realize in life, you have to be really open.
Yes.
And basically 7 years later, I was consulting for a contract manufacturer. I was sitting across the table from that same woman I had interviewed with. She shook my hand after. She told me it was so good to see you. You know, I wanted to hire you back then. But your department head at the time, your regional manager wouldn't let you go because you were doing such a good job at retail.
Isn't that the truth?
And that's...
Isn't that that culture? That's that culture written all over it.
That is the really important part about the beauty industry. And I bring this story up for this audience in particular because there's nothing harder than breaking out of retail into corporate.
Yes.
And you have to do it by just sheer tenacity, grit,
blood,
and
sweat,
luck.
And tears. Yeah.
And blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And just being relentless. So I relentlessly pursued every single one of my leads.
Yeah.
And my leads at the time were only my friends that I had from FIT.
Yeah.
And through one of them, I ended up getting an entry-level job at a contract manufacturer. Contract manufacturer, fragrance contract manufacturer, just so I could get a job in the city. That's when I started dating Christina.
Yeah, that's when I met you.
And
that
all
job.
I wanted was to be with Christina at the time. So I was like, get me to Manhattan. I don't care what it means. I will go work in the fragrance industry if I have to. Yes. And I did.
Yeah, but you miss beauty so much. I remember. You're like, I want to go back to makeup.
And I learned so much though about fragrance. And the point is that through my tasting menu, there has not been one single minute of the last year and 2 months where I haven't looked back at one of those mundane, terrible days inside one of my corporate jobs that I hated all of them.
Yeah.
Where I didn't think, okay, this is where I learned that.
Yeah.
And now look, I get to share this. And not only do I get to share it, but I've made these connections and I've learned how to bring these pieces of information to help shift this industry forward and hopefully create change, right? That we all want to see as a community, as customers, and as brands too. Like it's time for the beauty industry to evolve.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And then I ended up working at an incubator. Incubators notoriously work. They bring in celebrities and they build celebrity brands. So yeah, I did. I got to work with Drew Barrymore while at the incubator. And then I worked with Drew exclusively for about 5 years after that, working on Flower Beauty. And that really, my key job with that role was making really luxury beauty accessible at CVS, at Walmart.
Yeah.
So that is the ultimate training and that's the ultimate test, right? And everybody wants to know, where can I save my money? Where can I buy the best pieces of product? Is it, you know, what category should I spend in? What category should I save in is the constant question.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I got to do and was learn the fundamentals of like, what I like to call just like each formula base. And I developed everything you could think of under the sun because when you're working in a drugstore environment like that, especially at a licensor, because I worked on more than just flower at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there was times where I was managing like 500 SKUs, which was crazy.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's called guerrilla product development. Yeah. Like guerrilla marketing.
Like for real.
Yeah.
But it was the best way to learn.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And I, right before I ended up signing on with Drew more full time.
Yeah.
I had a few other clients as well, more like indie brands, right? Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs, independent brands when I was consulting. And Drew was really the key, the constant for the extended period of the 5 years. Because a lot of times as a consultant, right? Clients come in, they go out, projects need shift.
Yeah.
But the last thing I did, like prior to working with Drew and owning my consulting business and launching our beauty brand, I worked for Shiseido. I got to go to Japan. I got to understand what a global beauty brand means. I got to understand what a Japanese market wants and what an American market wants and what it means to be in a Southeast Asian market. And this is where, you know, you're at a facility or a factory in Japan and you realize and you look around and there's thousands of people working in this facility. Not one of them has dark skin.
Yeah.
They've never developed dark powders before for extensive inclusive shade ranges because they never had to.
Yep.
It was never asked of them. So it was really interesting to me going back to this, like when I think about each moment in these career paths, and it wasn't that these jobs were not good. They were great jobs. I wasn't supposed to be in them in the sense of forever.
Yes.
But I surely was supposed to learn everything that I
mean, you always found the nuances interesting.
I did.
That's true.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the details at every single job and I fell in love with the products. It was always like a romance for me.
Yes.
Whatever I was developing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So present day, the romance is more with the community and helping them and helping them fall in love with makeup in the way that I always have, you know, been in love with makeup.
I was going to say too, because you have even done that for me where I've been so... like, I've been so bored.
Bored, girl. No, I was just going to say the word bored.
And there have been, okay. It happens.
There have been products where I've even thought, I'm like, I don't even care. And I'll go and I will click on your page and pull up these products. And it was the Summer Fridays, the oil and the bomb. Yeah. And you talked about them because I was like, I don't need it. And I had both at home. Watch the video. I said, I need both. I was like, I'm glad I didn't get rid of these because I love them. But you've almost sparked a creativity in me again where I'm like, this is why I love doing this for this level of education, this level of passion, because I feel like it's that cookie cutter black mirror, like everyone is saying and doing the same thing. It's that script that everyone's reading.
Right. That's a problem.
Yeah. You that's both a big break problem. That mold of like, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah. We're not.
No.
Yeah. We're going to create content that is original, entertaining, educational, and informative. And it's so,
and you hit that sweet,
just incredible.
Thank you
you just
so much.
Hit that sweet spot because thank like you, he's saying, you inspire everybody. I mean, like behind the scenes, in front of the camera, consumers, young,
it's
old.
It's beautiful.
It's insane. And and you know what's crazy? It's like, we noticed that a lot with this is like, and even I think, and I know you guys are on YouTube as well. Like I've even noticed the different blowing up on TikTok first and then YouTube second, I was like, oh, these audiences are very different.
Oh, very different.
What they
different.
Expect, we what also, they want.
Yeah, like we haven't done YouTube right yet. I think we're still figuring this out, but you're so right. And Instagram too.
Yes.
Like all three audiences are very different.
Yes.
But like in a beautiful way, there's like one that's more intellectual, that's one that's more funny, but also like very cutthroat. Like,
And I it's think the desires, the tastes and preferences, when we talk about them in the sense of like, are the communities, but we need to be really like, this job is like so dynamic and multifaceted because if you don't have an understanding of what we just said about these three platforms, then you really can't make a difference on them.
Yes.
And in people's lives, quite frankly.
Absolutely. And that's what gave me, and we were talking about it before we recorded, was when I went over to YouTube and then started doing this, it started to give me such perspective where I felt like no one wanted that on TikTok, especially blowing up for the comedy skits. It was people were like, just put the towel back on, like be dance monkey. Like that was the mentality.
They expect you to be one thing.
Exactly. And then it was here, it was like when we started talking about a product, geeking out for 20 minutes about the formula and the way it was laying and this and that and the other thing, we were like, they have to hate this. And they were like, no, like I don't wear makeup and I can listen to you talk about it because I think it's also the expectation that when someone opens up YouTube, they're expecting to spend a quality amount of time with someone. Yes. And if they like your personality and they like what you're doing, they're going to stick around for the education that they don't, which is why, I mean, you two are going to take over YouTube in 5 seconds. I know it. But, now we have the 10 years before this.
We had
what
the romance,
led you?
We had the business.
Exactly. Yes. What was the bottleneck into unifying into social
the
media?
The Lipstick Lesbian universe.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for me, I was randomly posting stuff on the Lipstick Lesbians, right? Because it was behind the scenes of our brands, of our lives as founders of this brand.
Yeah.
But we didn't really have anything to do with the brand anymore because we were just, the brand was existing.
Yes.
You know, we poured all of our money into it, but nothing was happening. It was just in existence. So I used to ask Alexis random questions, just generally. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was training her to be comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Like for, because I captured the handle in 2021, right? Early 2021. Yeah. And then we went viral late 2022.
I'd say there was a moment for me in 2022 where I no longer felt like I was awkward in front of the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where I felt
it happened really it like happened awkwardly.
Very, very fast.
Yeah.
But there was just a moment. It was maybe about 4 or 5 months before the infamous, or actually no, the famous Mario video.
Yeah, infamous.
It wouldn't have been that way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to shoot that video inside Sephora that day had it not been for the Christina's constant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for me, I resisted making content. To be very clear, for 5 years, this is basically the top thing that we fought about.
Yeah, but you know, the goal when I was posting content was never really to like go stupid viral. It was always just like, I think
brand
our life
for FemPower.
Yeah, it was about our brand. Like I thought our life was interesting and I thought that it would be, I honestly thought it would just be like a lesbian channel because everyone always said the lipstick lesbians, it has to be lesbian, blah, 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 blah. So that's why I ask questions about like, hey, baby, what is your favorite thing about being lesbian? And sometimes it would go like mini viral. And I thought it was interesting. For me, it was like a case study. Like I made it like a whole research paper.
Totally. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, I think when we went to Sephora that day, and there's a background story, which I think you should get into, Alexis, with your hearing loss, job loss, everything.
Sorry, we always talk a lot.
But like we went into Sephora.
They're used to it
was the first time that I hashtag beauty talk and spoke about, it was the first time we also spoke about a product that wasn't our own.
Okay.
And then we went viral. And I was like, okay, we need to do more of that.
Like,
people want that.
I think for me, Sephora was a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I would appreciate seeing folks like you who would always put their full beat on. It always inspired me because I knew that that person that spent an hour and a half getting ready, they loved makeup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were my people.
Yeah.
So I think there's an energy to piece to going into Sephora, you know, especially when it's not like Times Square Sephora and it's not like insanely busy.
Yeah.
Like happy Jersey Sephora.
Yeah.
So basically early December of that year, I woke up one morning and I had a really crazy health scare. I lost all hearing in my left ear. And that puts you on this really wild journey of suddenly I have to take the front seat and I have to just focus on my health. Mm-hmm. 2 days after the health scare, at the time, the job I was working in that was most important, that was supposed to lead to like a full time, they decided to go in a completely different direction. And there was no more work. That was just it. It was the end of the contract. We were done. And I wasn't ready for that. You know, I had committed myself to this is going to be a full-time position in January. I had settled into the fact that we were going to sunset our business, our brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was also really deeply thinking about even leaving the beauty industry on a whole. So there was two, you know, once the nice departure letter had happened, basically. It was like, okay, that's a message from the universe saying leave the industry. Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Because 2.5 weeks later, I was so depressed about my hearing loss and it will take over your life. It's one of your key senses.
Yeah.
You feel like you're underwater. You're scared to death that you're never going to get any hearing back. And what if you lose hearing in your other ear? Mm-hmm. What if I lose? Like, I started to go down
of
a spiral.
Course.
So one of the key things you have to do in treatment is something called hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It was one of my like second to last sessions or something. You have to do these sessions for like 18 days in a row. Your whole life is dedicated to being in this chamber for however many sessions you need for your issue. I was devastated. I couldn't wear makeup in this chamber, no deodorant, nothing with fragrance because it was hospital grade. And I asked Christina to bring a little bag of makeup, come pick me up
and
like rescue me.
Yeah.
And take me to Sephora to cheer me up on my way to my dad's birthday. So we stopped.
December 27th.
So we stopped in Riverside Square.
That was Casey and I's first date. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So wild.
We stopped in Riverside Square, Hackensack. It was a store I used to shop in when I lived in Jersey and in Paramus. And, you know, I was finally like, she gave me permission to buy the foundation. I was testing it.
Well, yeah, because Alexis used to spend money at Sephora.
Yeah,
I was just like, we're not
going
to Sephora, honey.
Yeah. I didn't have a job at this point. So like, we're not spending money, but we're allowed to get the Skin Enhancer Replenishment, which was the reason to go, really.
Yeah.
I masked with, I really just want to try the new foundation.
Yeah.
I'm shade matching and I'm like, first I'm fighting her.
She's filming Alexis.
Yeah.
And then I was
also trying to keep myself entertained too. Cause like, that's also me inside Sephora. I'm just like, teach me something. Like, let's go. Yeah. Yeah. Ask the questions.
And then she asks me, you know, where it's made. And for me, even the first time I touched it before you were recording, but like, I was just having a quiet, intimate moment, like with myself.
You weren't speaking out loud. I was trying to rip out your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. And look, the Mario Foundation, whether we think about that being kind of like a trigger point or it was the start of a new.
Absolutely.
It started a new cycle of complexion. Then we've now seen a year later what's gone on in the concealing category. And there's 15 unique concealers on the market where there used to be basically fundamentally the same. So this kind of ushered us into, you know, kind of the next evolution of complexion in a way. Maybe we could say NARS Light Reflecting started it.
Yeah.
And like Mario continued, but in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
But the important part is that it was exciting for me, that foundation. I don't think, you know, we would have hit had it not been my number one category, by the way. This is what I developed at Shiseido.
Wow.
I'm a complexion queen.
Yeah, you love complexion.
It's my favorite category.
Yeah.
The most hard besides mascara to develop.
Because you like a challenge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So many factors went into this, but Christina edited, posted. Hashtag
Alexis didn't know.
I had no idea it even happened.
Yeah.
I woke up to a viral video and I was like, are you kidding? Like,
yeah.
I thought she was messing with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's go to Sephora. And I'm like,
she rips the sheets off.
Yeah. Actually, I have a video of Alexis on the couch and I was just like, how do you feel about our viral video? She's like, does this mean we could go to Sephora now? Like, I never posted it. But I should post it because it's really funny because it's so like, it you know, like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. Right?
So of course now everyone wants to see House Labs. And like, we just,
we
went to,
and that was the second video.
Like, our local Sephora at the time, which is in Brooklyn by Barclays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were there for like 3 hours.
Yes.
And I could have kept going all night, but they kicked us out.
They did. They're like, you got enough content tonight.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I ended up at that point, the day, this is now, you know, literally New Year's Eve 2022. So we went to dinner in Fort Greene in Brooklyn that night.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke about your career trajectory.
I did, walking.
Again, a video. It's like dark. We had no like influencer light.
Oh, it's raining. What we were doing. We were just going with it.
Yeah, but people wanted to know.
And
then
we ended up having dinner that night. It was New Year's Eve, and then we had dinner. And you kind of looked at me, and I was going away for like 10 days. I was actually going on a little wellness retreat in light of everything that I just shared.
Well, because you needed it.
Yeah,
you know,
I needed to reevaluate my life. And one of my best friends was going to this retreat. It's a wellness retreat. It was in Costa Rica. It was meant to be a really healing experience.
Yeah.
So I said, give me all the healing now.
Yeah.
Christina said, go heal yourself. And come back to me and like, let's figure life out, basically.
Yeah.
So we batched a ton of content before I left.
Okay.
I sack her with the entire platform.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm starting my new job.
And I was supposed to be zen and deviceless.
Yes.
For like a good week.
Yeah.
And then we're going like stupid viral while she's away. I'm starting my new job.
You gotta be, I wanna be a fly on the wall of you. Like, I just picture like a movie of like
it was crazy.
Streams.
It was like, I was an octopus.
Yeah. And you were starting your new job.
But like crazy stuff was happening. Like Selena Gomez commented, Mario started engaging. And I was like, what's happening right now?
I think it was real. Like, you have to understand, I walked off that plane in the middle of January coming back. We had 100,000 followers on TikTok. And suddenly Christina said, you don't need to look for a job.
Like,
you focus on this. You focus on, and I was like,
and this was mid-January.
Best news ever.
And then
I'll
February.
She
loved it. No, it was, and it was fun. And to be honest, like that's all the content was. It was us going to Sephora, just teaching people and having fun. And like a lot of the questions that I have, again, it's not because I have a deep understanding of beauty products either. It's because I'm genuinely curious. Like, if I'm in front of a drugstore wall and there's all these mascaras, you know how many times I thought about that? Like, how do I choose? Like, I remember going to my local Rite Aid as a kid, needing, like, to replenish my mascara, not knowing where to start. You know, and I think about that kid.
I always, a shift for me in my content recently, a couple months ago, was I went into Ulta with my sister, who's an accountant. You know, she does her makeup, but, you know, accountant. And she were in Ulta and she, I'm doing something and she's, I catch her and I look at her and she just goes like,
Help.
And looks back at me and she's like, there's so much
it's
here.
It's overwhelming.
And she's like, do you know what all of this does? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, kind of. And that's when it like hit me where I was like, I cannot imagine being a civilian, not us, walking into these stores. And no wonder people are like, no, I can't, I don't even want to broach it because of the overwhelming nature.
Totally.
So, to have that dual perspective is like fascinating. So how were you obviously you're fielding that, which that's insane to field it from just a virality standpoint and the public aspect.
Yeah.
But then what was your thought process from like the game plan?
People had so many questions.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, I no longer.
I got really overwhelmed by the questions.
Yeah, yes. You were overwhelmed.
Like I had to answer every single comment in the beginning.
But like, okay, so this goes back to being an English teacher. Mm-hmm. When you're grading an essay, you don't correct the same mistake over and over and over again. You teach the mistake, right? So you'd use it as an analysis, right? Of like, what's the comment that keeps coming up the most? And you can create content around that.
And this is what she would do. And she'd be like, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this.
Yeah. And so I guided the ship. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like it's a beautiful dance, right?
Yeah,
sometimes
it is.
It's, I know now because Christina's trained me to think like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody's going to know this.
Yes.
Right. Walking into Sephora, it was the middle of summer and I saw the Fenty eavesdrop stick. It's completely shrunk in. I'm like, oh.
You're like, we need to create,
a video.
So it's
this.
A very delicate like dance between the two of us of like,
eavesdrop stick. And as God is my witness, I might have been, I don't know if I was in the new house yet, but I feel like I remember sitting as I'm not making this up. I remember watching you on that video talking about it. I had just gotten in PR like 2 weeks before that, which of course I'm a psycho. I have to immediately open everything and put it on me. I have no self-control. He's better than me. But I remember panicking, swiveling, and going, did I throw out the plastic thing? That's how much I remember watching that video. Yeah, that's
wild. So yeah, a lot of the times it's Alexis who's like, we need to talk about this when we're in store. Because we're also not planning what we're going to film in store. It's very spontaneous.
It's got to be fun.
Oh. Yeah.
No.
Love that.
Yes.
We got to go in. We go in. We don't know.
Yeah.
You don't go in with a plan of like, I know this product just launched. Let's go look for it.
Sometimes there's newness.
You're like, let's go check.
Yeah.
That will be a let's go play the beauty brain game.
Okay.
Other than that, it's like we're wandering the gondolas. Yeah. We're looking for inspo.
Totally. Yeah.
But the products will give us that.
And we have a few questions from our community still that keeps come up. So we know those. But like most of the stuff that goes viral for the most part is like stuff that's super organic, super spontaneous, and also like super low effort.
Yes.
Like, it's really crazy.
It's always the most low effort
Well,
ones.
Seeing the eavesdrop stick shrunk it and you're like, okay, well, that's content right there.
Exactly.
In the moment, you're just looking for those things.
Yes. And also like it's so fun to do it in store because you never know. Like, you know, sometimes you get someone who's behind the scenes that like has a reaction to something Alexis says and she's like, oh my God. Like, it's cool.
Somebody with the stick in their hand is putting it back and they're just like
over her shoulder putting it back on the thing. Yeah.
So it's fun. You know? We're just like literally creating content, educating, and having fun. Like that's what we do.
It's so funny from an outsider's perspective because I know the feeling of when someone looks at you and says like, oh, you were so meant to do it. Like, it doesn't surprise me that you're doing this. We living our lives in our own skin, of course we don't know where we're going. And there's so many times it feels hopeless. Like we talked about, we had a very similar trajectories, like, which that was even crazy. You talk about the NARS thing. I had the same thing graduating college with makeup forever. I was an internship, got it, strung me along 2 months later. We're not doing a position. Same thing, devastated. Like, so, but that feeling of it. And, but sitting here listening to it, it's like, of course, like take someone with 10 years of industry experience in the beauty industry and a mastermind, tech, education, whatever, and put them together. Of course, this is what you're doing. Like, this is like so, it's not surprising at all, but it's obviously, it's so fascinating to hear your guys' perspective because you never know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going with it in a way.
We don't.
Which leads me to kind of talking about, I think, let's call it a renaissance, not only in social media and tech, but beauty as well. So my question being is, A, shout out to the fact that you both recently were on Today Show, correct? As well as the BBC.
Yes.
What was the show on BBC?
Alexis was BBC.
BBC was about Gen Alpha. It was about, basically, the lovely news anchor at BBC wanted to call out influencers as being responsible for the craze of Gen Alpha and that we've inspired them. And that really the onus is on us. Whereas I said, the onus is on everyone, including the parents, including influencers, including Gen Alpha themselves, but
it's an issue of education.
It's an issue of education, right? And at the end of the day, just because when I was growing up, the Clinique counter was it. If Drunk
We've
Elephant,
talked about it.
If Drunk Elephant existed, we would have been buying Drunk Elephant.
Oh, of course.
We only had that yellow moisturizer. That was our only option.
Well, not dramatically different, girl. Leave her alone. Oh, yeah.
No, totally. Yeah.
And that was the whole point.
Yeah.
But people don't, I don't think that there's enough of a, what I like to call almost enough of an understanding around what drives people to buy makeup.
Yes.
Mm. There's so many psychological aspects to buying beauty, bigger than any of us mm-hmm. even have touched the surface on, even like in our conversation today, but yeah. so many subconscious, predetermined, you know, beauty standard issues inside of all of us. But also, these are collectibles. Like,
yes.
My little nephew collects stuffies. I think it's fascinating. And I was talking to him about it. He's like, he's 7. He's adorable. I'm like, so I said, Dre, what happens when you collect them all?
Yeah.
He said, I'll never have enough.
I know.
Of course you're not. How did he learn that?
I know.
He's exactly. never going to have enough. I'm never going to have enough makeup. I'm never going to feel like my collection is complete.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people are watching are probably going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be something new.
Yes.
Something innovative, something you have to try. You're going to evolve. Your needs are going to evolve. Your wants are going to evolve. Your style is going to evolve.
Totally.
But that's the thing that we should celebrate.
Yes.
With education.
Yes. Because I'm even, and I think the Renaissance aspect of it is I'm starting to see a little bit of a, and it's so weird. I feel like it's half informed by people, just the pendulum swing of people I think are wanting educational beauty content again, as well as I think the way TikTok, which in my opinion was responsible for the pendulum swing of beauty content becoming very entertaining.
Yes.
Now TikTok is becoming so educational because of what's going on in the world where we're getting all of our, which is what is all the pushback with the TikTok ban. We're getting our, my whole TikTok feed is information about the boycott of Kellogg's and the what's happening with the ban and the politicians' views on it and what's going on in the world. It's becoming such a educationally informative app where it's blending these two worlds that's why I think we're seeing education and beauty, plus now us all focusing on the tech and where combining that. You two both recently went to Lady Gaga's house.
Yes. Which was crazy.
Gooped.
You were
probably there as we were dressed as her doing the podcast.
Yeah, and I was like sitting here in my wig like, wow.
Yeah. And you can talk about that experience. I'm sure that was such a head.
That was wild.
But also, kind of, and I don't know if you can or what you can or cannot share. I know you spoke about it a little, but I definitely need a refresh of what exactly was that about.
It's like a peptide. Yeah, yeah.
Wait till you hear this. It was fascinating.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Would you like me to talk about the peptide?
I mean, I don't even. Alexis is much better at this part.
So, yeah. Because I heard it and I was like.
We watched it again today. And I was like. I was smoking a little bit. I'm like, what? Okay,
so, it's crazy. So. Yeah. This goes back to beauty being bigger than us.
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of people are going to have opinions about whether or not this is where we should be, pharmaceutical companies should be investing their money. But I would beg to differ because of one key thing, and that's EPP.
Okay.
And EPP is a disease where people literally cannot walk outside. The sun burns them. So they live nocturnal lives. Mm-hmm. They wake in the night and they go to sleep during the day. And imagine a 7-year-old living a nocturnal life. Like that's the really big thing here. So the percentages of the population that have this aren't massive, but it's enough.
Yeah.
So this pharmaceutical company, Clinuvel, had been working towards basically taking a pre-existing peptide that we already have and inserting it similarly to how you would insert like an Ozempic, right? But it's the size of a grain of sand.
Wow.
So this peptide gets inserted and it allows the peptide to be in your system like 5 times as long as the peptide that already exists in your body is. It's a melanin peptide.
Okay.
Melanin color. So people that have EPP, it's going to allow them and their skin to tolerate the sun.
Yeah.
People that don't have EPP that have vitiligo is when you have like two-toned skin, right? It's going to take that softer, fairer color on the skin and bring the melanin up to match the darker shade. And they are working on like topical formats of it. So let's say you just have vitiligo on your hands and you have like a big white spot in the center. You can place that cream in the center and it will basically, it's like putting self-tanner in that spot, except it's a peptide that naturally exists in your body that you're just injecting more of, basically.
Yes.
And ultimately, for us that don't have vitiligo, don't have EPP, we look like we just spent, the terminology they used is Sicilian tan.
Well, I think they said Sicilian because Lady Gaga's Sicilian.
Right. Totally. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we never heard her talk about her being Italian.
She's Italian.
I've never heard it before in my life.
Which my Italian is like half Sicilian and half all Northern, and I got none of the Sicilian, so bring it on. I got the Northern Italy.
So let's think about, okay, there's the literal pharmaceutical, you know, aspect of this, where people's lives, and there's at least millions. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, in terms of the population, maybe it's hundreds of thousands to be exact.
Yeah.
But there's at least almost a million people in the world that are impacted by EPP.
Wow.
And once you put vitiligo in the mix, that number jumps drastically.
Yeah.
So this goes back to beauty standards.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to the aesthetic of culture. If we're talking about a history of what tan skin was, how it was perceived, you know, back in the day, tan skin meant you worked outside in the Chanel era,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Meant you were a laborer, so you were looked down upon. But make no mistake, present day, tan skin does not mean that at all. Everybody in the United States wants to be tan. But you go to Korea, you go to Japan, they want to be as fair as you can be.
Yes.
They will avoid the sun. They would wish they could live nocturnal lives.
Exactly.
Hence their obsession with sun protection, right?
Yeah.
But the important thing is that the more that we start to play with these types of treatments, there will be a time in our future where we're not just going to have to worry about sun protection, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of environmental aggressors that now companies are looking at for aging, right? To help slow down aging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether it's inflammation or what some companies, there's a company called Dende, they're really pioneering inflammaging.
Okay.
So... Mm-hmm. All of these elements, when it relates to the skin is our largest organ.
Yeah.
So yes, we'll start here, but you also need to understand, like, there's people researching the skin's microbiome.
Yeah.
Your skin's microbiome is connected to your gut's microbiome. Your gut's microbiome connects to everything, how your whole body's operating system functions. So what you put on your skin, the color of your skin, how well your skin can protect you. It all does matter in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. And something I really wanted to talk about today that I'm remembering is it's so important that we together in this space right now, your community, our community, we understand that there is so much nuance in the beauty industry.
Mm. Yeah.
So yes.
Preach.
Like there is no such thing as black and white. People will look at that Lady Gaga event, which was beautiful.
Oh.
The house was stunning.
Yes.
The education has... Clearly, for me, it inspired me. Yes, it's pharmaceutical, but it's the future.
Yes.
Technology.
That's unbelievable.
It's something people need. People, and again, they're not going to stop at melanin, right?
Yeah.
The melanin will help shield the sun, but maybe in the future, this company is going to have the technology, and I'm just spitballing.
Totally.
They didn't say this, but we're going to need to protect our skin, like I said, from more than just the sun in the future.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So no one's going to be mad that they started doing the research in 2024 for that.
Yes.
When that comes out, when we all need it.
Yes.
You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And it's not black and white in the sense that you're going to have a whole army of people on the internet in real life that don't agree with this technology. Just like there's a whole world of people right now who are mad at Oprah for putting on her, you know, shame and blame and fat.
Whatever. Yeah. The Ozempic.
Yes.
Did you guys see that?
Ozempic and like, you know, I'm someone who can relate to Oprah's story. I've been this weight since I was basically 12. 12-year-olds aren't supposed to weigh this, but I did. I have the gene for it, so I understand. But whether or not I want to choose to take Ozempic, that's my choice. Whether or not I want to take this, you know, Clinuvel's little, you know, salt particle,
sized
peptide, that's my choice.
Yeah.
And most importantly, you know, people should never place any shame or blame on that. And people shouldn't assume that there's one right answer and one path, whether it's a mascara or, you know, a peptide. That's really important for, you know, saving someone's life who's diabetic or in this case, you know, saving someone's life who has a skin disease.
Exactly.
It's a disease.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is a benefit, I think, of being a queer creator because I think you kind of do have, there's a, you know,
you have to grow up with that.
Hey, so you learn how to talk about these things and articulate yourselves. And then I think as well, there is this almost like invisible, to a degree, an invisible filter of the people that do come to you. There is a little bit more of an open-mindedness to things in general because they are, I mean, you guys every week are listening to us idiots sitting here like looking. We could be in pajamas. We could be in full beat. But we could be in wigs.
You have to express yourselves in a broad spectrum of identities because that's your truth.
Absolutely. And they're unfazed. And that's the thing. They're unfazed by it. So then when it does come to things like this, you're not really dealing with that as much, fighting it as much as maybe just a person that isn't that way and doesn't express themselves that way because their audience might be used to them in a certain
one little box
package.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good thing, the pro of being a queer creator, that you kind of get to, I don't know, you see that you start to build a community and a little family that's like
it's
down
beautiful.
For anything.
We're all here to open people's minds.
Exactly.
We're not here to tell anyone what to do.
Yes.
We call our community beauty queens. And it's so lovely.
Because everyone really is a beauty queen if they want to be.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the thing. We shouldn't ever feel like we can't own that identity if that's an identity we want to own.
Absolutely.
And an identity, for example, that some of us weren't allowed to embody based on stereotypes for whatever reason.
Spans age and gender.
Doesn't matter. Everything. Yeah. So there's a, I see the time now too in where we are in the beauty culture. It's like, there's like a divine feminine energy shifting culturally, helping us bring education in, helping us have these meaningful conversations. Mm-hmm. But what's most important, right, is this work that we get to do, there is glamour, right? Going back to getting to meet Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Glamour, fun, right? In experiences, for me, why was that special? That's special because Lady Gaga is a change maker.
Yes.
Lady Gaga shifted culture.
Yes.
Like a magician.
I know.
Blows your mind with a magic trick.
Absolutely.
She did it so discreetly and just by her existence.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a lot to anyone in the queer community.
Yeah.
But really anyone that was a Gaga fanatical fan. And to really see how once you hold this type of, you get the glamour, you get the fun, but once you get to be in this environment and you get to impact people's lives, that's a responsibility. Yeah. We don't take that responsibility lightly.
No. Yeah.
Whether you're entertaining people with beauty information, they need that. That's healing. Whether your approach is to help people heal because they want to laugh and disconnect from their life, or the approach is, let me teach you how to find a product that's going to make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we all exist.
Yes.
Yeah. And we can push the narrative forward away from, you must do this. You must look like this. Mm-hmm. This is what a lesbian is. This is what a straight girl is. This is what a desirable person is that's going to get married and chosen and blah, blah. And it's,
absolutely.
We got to move on.
Yes.
The world's got to change. Give me all the peptides. Yes. Give me all the future technology.
Absolutely.
You know, and stop shaming me for my wrinkles, my fat, my age, my sexuality.
Yep.
Everyone needs to just exist in the way that they feel good.
Yeah. Totally.
Put it on a t-shirt.
With suburban gays.
Totally. Totally. And that almost, so a selfish question for me is from the standpoint of, I think, how do you both navigate? For me, at times, there is a balance, I think, being a gay man in the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. There's a very, I've been told by people that work as high as you could be that, listen, we don't want to work with you because you're not gay enough or you're not straight presenting
enough.
It goes
back to the stereotypes.
It's always, exactly. And you are, we say it all the time. I will be at a dinner of 30. I'm the only male creator there. And there's that. So there's that to overcome. But then I think when you add the education experience behind it and the professional being makeup artists, not just maybe just, you know, I like makeup and I'm doing it in my house, because it motivates you differently when you want to share information in that regard. So I think I'm currently in this difficulty of, like, I want to share all this information in an industry that I've been told again and again, we're not making it for you. So there's this and I want to help the people I want to make the content for, and especially on YouTube where I've garnered this audience 35 to 65 that a lot of them are not being spoken to and they're underrepresented. Sure. I want to help these people so much, and I'm in this balance of every time I go to turn the camera on, I'm like, who am I doing? Am I getting a return on this investment, or am I only giving these brands free advertising? And it's, and then when it could turn into anything, the gay male creator aspect of it, I tend to be at the bottom of the list for them considering, let's work with that person. Let's invite him here. Let's do this. But you are both so good at least as from an audience perspective, making the kind of content that is the kind of content I love and you enjoy doing it. So how do you balance that tightrope of being fun, enjoying what you're doing, and still infusing it with your message of education and the whole capitalism.
The
exactly. Yeah. The whole, you know, making it in a capitalist country. How do you approach your content?
Art meets money.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile?
Exactly. Yeah. Where does that Venn diagram overlap?
It's art, science, money, gain.
Well, just like to dovetail off your comments here, I do think, again, from the short time that we've been doing this and from the short time that I've been consuming beauty content, I think that there is a total stigma against gay men, for sure, you know? And then when we look at the larger picture about what's going on with the trans community, you know, and beauty, that's even worse, right? Like, this is like, this conversation can get real dark. You know? So,
you guys will find this fascinating, was the conversation, let's say, I had with a very high up, that was almost, was said to me point blank, was, you know, I don't think people realize how much the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light situation, I cannot express to you how much
that scared people.
Brands do not want to dip their toe into the LGBT community because of that backlash. Yeah. And that
we've spoken about this
because even me having a whole year of content creation monetizing in 2022, my 2022 compared to 2023 trajectory wise, it was like, what? And it was
That's crazy. It was after May,
with Dylan Mulvaney. I didn't even think of it. And I was like, what is happening? Like, and I saw that fall off. And it wasn't until they said it to me point blank, which I love this person for being honest.
You know what? That was just going to say, I give that person a
which
lot
I
of
love them. Exactly. Because
you deserve at least that if you're going to see a drastic, you know.
She's trying to combat it behind the scenes, which is why I think she said it point blank, which was like that. I didn't even put to, I was like, what you brought up, the trans aspect. So sorry, that was said point blank. So
it's just wild. I mean, it makes me so sad just to see what's happening, you know, with trans people
and
specifically in
Dylan.
We did. We met Dylan at Lady Gaga's house. Which was really lovely because we met Dylan before she went crazy viral very briefly on a call.
Yeah, we did through FemPower.
We were thinking about collaborating, but then she blew up and we totally understand. We're like, you do you, girl. You're blowing up. Like, good for you. And we're cheering you on, you know? So nothing but respect. But it's tough in the beauty industry, I think, for certain creators. And I totally get that. And I agree. I think the Dylan Mulvaney thing did have a huge... And us being new, in June, we barely got any partnerships for Pride. And I used to see them all the time, you know?
Yeah. We were stunned, actually.
Yeah, I thought it would be...
It was non-existent. I didn't even... And also...
Pride was, like, canceled.
This quite person, literally,
this person point blank almost said to me, she goes, you know, she goes, I'm not, she was in charge of planning the Pride for this company. And she goes, I'm not going to say that the top person at the company told me to cancel it, but let's just say he was like, tone it down because that's how scared how scared everyone was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for our channel, because there's not a lot of other femme lesbian creators in the beauty industry specifically. And also, like, there's not a lot of really popular beauty product developers specifically. It's like we've created this niche and we're so unique and new for now, you know? And I'm sure we're trailblazing for other people to come, and that's what we want. Like, I hope we are, you know? It's we've been received with a lot of love, which has been so beautiful. Because one of my insecurities when we started to go viral and we spoke about this was the projection that everyone had about our channel to begin with before we did any beauty content, which is just like, can we really do this being the lipstick lesbians?
You know, great creators that are maybe a little, you know, religious, we'll say. Are they going to be comfortable saying the word lesbian on
camera? It's so interesting. Because every time we post a photo of us in a relationship on Instagram, we lose followers. Which I'm just like, you know what? Good.
Weed them out.
Weed them out. I was just going to say, weed them out, girl. Get them out.
Every time we post a photo on our Instagram that's a relationship picture of us, we lose followers. So I always thought that was interesting. So I'm like, good, weed them out. Like, we don't want them there to begin with, you know? And for the most part, we don't receive hate being lesbian women.
I have a really funny story, actually, on this tone.
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Come on.
I have no idea what you're about to say.
So my niece is...
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
So I have two nieces and a nephew. They're all very animated, and I love them all.
Yeah.
But both nieces are obsessed with makeup. My one niece is seven, and my sister, because this is my sister's daughter.
Yeah.
She's split up from her husband. They're, you know, basically finalizing their divorce. Uh-huh. So he lives elsewhere and he has a partner, female partner. And she said, Daddy, and this is a Greek man that was born, you know, basically like
very village.
Very village. Like yeah. he was born in America, but like he was raised in Greece. Mm-hmm. I want to be a lipstick lesbian.
Don't we all? Yeah.
yeah. Which we now we thought
it's yeah, so that's incredible.
And I share this because she doesn't know what that means.
I know.
But she just thinks, watches the content and she loves it.
Right. Like, she loves exactly. the makeup. She yeah. loves us. We're her theas, her aunts.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Every time we see her, we bring her makeup.
Yeah.
We bought her this giant, gorgeous vanity for her birthday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
we're always this bright spot. We spend summers with her in Greece every year. Oh. She lives here in Jersey, but, yeah. you know, we really spend time with her in the summer. And, yeah. like, her beautiful little creative mind, you know, and it's so interesting because her friends mm-hmm. who also are, you know, of the Greek community,
yeah.
they also want to be lipstick lesbians.
Yeah. So wow. now they like talk about the lipstick
like
lesbians.
Eight, nine, 7 year olds, these Greek kids that like have really super strict Greek parents.
Yeah.
It's fascinating because I can only imagine what the response yeah. to that is.
Just these wide eyes at home when right. they hear it. Yeah. They're like, you what?
But now, and this dovetails into a little bit of what you were asking. Yeah. Like, Johnny, you're doing this for the little Johnnies.
Yes.
I yeah. And I think, you can't forget about them.
I know.
100%. And we get so many messages now, too, that are like from parents talking about their queer kids, about mm-hmm. thank you so much for existing. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your love, too. Because I think, you know, I know that our content is very multifaceted and dynamic, totally. But part of it is like the love that we have for each other that yes. I think translates through the screen.
Yes.
And so I think we're not like hiding it, right?
Yeah. No, so we're just like very visible.
It on display on purpose.
It's like we're not making out in content. But like our handle is the lipstick lesbians, and we're making it very clear that we're queer. you know, it's a stance, totally. You know, it's bold.
Totally.
So I think it's just so heartwarming to get these messages from queer kids and the parents that are like, thank yes. you so much for your visibility. You're really helping us, mm-hmm. you know.
The more and more that these laws are coming into play across middle America, you know, we have to remember middle America when we do this. We yes. have to remember the country in, you know, the Middle East
yes.
that people maybe are
yes.
watching.
Like, the global audience.
You can't forget about the impact both of you are having, your podcast is having, your content is having, because ultimately, you know, we didn't have that. None of us had this.
Yeah.
Not one of us had this growing up.
Nope.
In whatever shape or form.
I know. Look at this.
You would
really
want to
exist. Yeah. Like, I know.
Yeah.
So our existence, whether you're wearing makeup, whether you're not, explain to people why.
Yeah.
Explain to people your dilemma.
Yeah.
Because they need to understand that you're going through that, because that's a cultural experience that we're in now.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it's because of the Bud Light situation. Yep. It's because of, you know, we have an election coming up.
Yeah. I mean, there's forces way bigger than us trying to control things, I think.
I was reading an article this morning randomly it was in the New York Times. It was like a bit of a recap.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how we're for the first time ever as a culture in the United States at like an average of 2 kids per family. We're having the least amount of kids as Americans than we've ever had before.
Oh, so interesting.
And guess what that impacts? The economy.
Yeah.
Because the largest driving force of the economy was kids being born, parents spending money, shopping.
The 2.5 kids in the house with the white picket fence.
All of it is a cycle of economics.
Absolutely.
Don't think for 1 second I was like, maybe this is why we're not no longer to freely have abortions.
Yes.
Because they need more kids to power the economy, to pump money into this country. Yeah. Now, I'm not a politician.
I know what you mean. No, but you're right.
But like, this is where my brain is going. Yeah. And the truth is that we can look at makeup for the $1 billion economy driver that it is. You look at countries, by the way, like South Korea specifically. Like, you need to understand that economically speaking, they are driven and inspired to export beauty. Mm. They're given, the government subsidizes and supports them making beauty products because of how much money it generates for their economy. Korean beauty is a thing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah.
And great. It's wonderful. I love the products. I'm no complaints.
I'm like currently obsessed. Right. I just bought like $300 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
K-Beauty's
great.
Yes, style. Like, Cleo has always sent me stuff. Fell down a rabbit hole, loved something. And I was like, what am I doing? And I went on and I just went. Yeah. And then you had posted about the cushion responding to Bethany Frankel. And that's what I had gotten a glow cushion, oily. So I was like, here you go. I ordered the matte kill cover.
Yes,
I'm going down this K-beauty rabbit hole, and it's unbelievable.
And you can keep going, and you'll be
it's never ending.
Exactly. You'll be there for a long time.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's fun.
Based on what you said, there was two thoughts of like, A, I realized like, yeah, hearing it in this way, I think I am, there's a lot of things for me that I think there's a lot of protection still up when it comes to making content, because even with my comedy skits, I did theater for years.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, there's a vulnerability aspect to it. And it was, I always try to make them teaching moments of like, this is what this person, it was our story, literally. And, but it was a character. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It was just that. Yeah. But I think they're like, you even saying, you know, say why you do this or why you are wearing me. And I realized like, I'm like, okay, like, boop, boop, therapist. Like, because I'm like, there is certain things still that I'm like, ooh, that makes me a little, I never even thought to share those stories because there's something there that I think I'm a little.
Yeah. And look, when you're ready, right? There's always going to be a moment where you're going to feel it in your body and you're going to be ready. Mm-hmm. Whether for me, you know, I couldn't talk about a lot of things for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because I was hiding behind, you know, a celebrity for a really long time. That was nice. It was, you know. Those were some big shoes I got to hide behind in terms of her fame.
Yeah.
And the truth is that I had always thought about power. I'd always dreamt about being on a stage in front of thousands of people. I'd have this reoccurring dream. I still do. Mm-hmm. Literally, to be on a stage in front of thousands of people. And I would laugh. And I'd be like, who do I think I am? But one day, very soon probably, will I be on that stage. And that dream maybe is something that, you know, was always meant to be a reality.
Yeah.
So... in saying that, though, I would have never gotten there. And that goes back to what we said earlier. I would have never gotten there to being able to accept that had it not been for my partner believing in me, maybe the only one that did, because I sure as shit didn't believe in myself. But it seems like your partner, and you have another partner right next to you.
You have two partners.
Really does believe in you, and you're building something. You both carved a path inside Sephora.
Yes.
You did.
Yes.
The path that you carved inside Sephora led to the skits that led to the virality that led to this podcast. Mm-hmm. You can't forget about that.
It really is crazy to think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember the day I met you, there was something about you too that it like almost...
Because most gay men are bitchy to each other upon meeting. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what the person said about
person
you?
Better than the other? Is that what it is?
There's
an
immediate with gay men. There's this immediate, like, there can only be one of us cattiness. Absolutely. Totally. There's this immediate, like, And well, him I'm and sure I, did. There wasn't...
Any. There was this, like, sister energy.
Sisters.
I was like, because there was a guy, I remember you walked out of the back room after your last interview. Yeah. You were in your black and white striped shirt, like the zigzag. And I was like, this guy seems really cool. I was like, whoever he is, I hope he gets hired. Because there was something about your energy that I was like, drawn to you, where I was like, this person, I don't know what, like... he's about, but I just want to be his friend.
Yeah.
And I will, without skipping a beat, the other guy standing next to me was like, what a queen.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's probably going to be a bitch. And I was like, you don't know him.
Yeah, you're a bitch.
I was like, anyway.
Good for you.
And I was like, get away from me. I was like, and then you just walked by. I was like, have a good day. And then that was it. And then I think that by the next week or so, you were hired. And I was like, and that person has since, you know, just been bitter since then. Yeah. But I was like, there was something about you that just... you were such a star from the beginning in my eyes, where I was so drawn to you for that reason. And I was like, this person is going to be destined for more than these four walls.
Right.
And
thank you. And that was when I brought him on. It was almost the same thing of like, I was the Christina to his Alexis at that point, because I brought him on the podcast and I threw him to the wolves. Like you say about like, I just was filming without even like just.
What's the best way to do it sometimes?
Oh, yeah. You know? Just entertaining and he was so easy to do it that I was like, oh, this is a thing. And I like was like, and then it started to be a little bit like Dance Monkey, because I knew he had so much to say. And the minute he got comfortable, it was like electric. And the other thing you made me realize was, I think a lot of it as well is our generation, I think, of queer people, and you are the two perfect people who can relate to this, is when you find a love like this, and how I feel with Casey. For me, at least, I think there was always an element of protection. We do a lot. When we're young, as queer kids, don't get to fully develop because they are hiding so many aspects of themselves, prioritizing safety over expression, that we have to deal with those things later on. And when you find a love in that way, even when I blew up on social media, I think so much of it, I do want to bring Casey into my content more. I do want to do that, but I am so protective of that because of how unlikely little me always thought it was going to be. That how do you guys navigate doing this together, and that balance of expressing the good parts of expressing your love, but also the protection elements? What's that line?
That's so interesting. I feel like I'm very protective of Alexis.
Yeah.
She is.
Very protective. Yeah.
It's really interesting. We literally, this morning, we were getting ready, and this is maybe like the second most lesbian thing we've said on the entire podcast.
What is
because
it?
Because she literally went through the 10 years of us being together and how was proud of me. Year one, I was proud of you for this. Year two, and she went through the sequence to year 10.
Yeah.
And like, who does that?
It's like Casey.
On a Wednesday.
And I'm always,
On a Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. On a Wednesday.
It's just, there was no specialness to the day other than like, we just had this beautiful moment because we're happy and we're living our truth. But
yes,
I think the point of protection, going back to that, it's a really important point, and it strikes a huge chord with me, specifically because makeup always made me feel safe.
Yes.
Mm. So makeup, and this is something that ironically Christina has been challenging me with to share more specifically about my connection and why it's so, so deep with makeup.
It's very deep.
Because it's very deep for
me. It's deeper than just like educating around products.
No, it comes from deeper than being a product developer. It's deeper than being behind the, you know, the shadows of this celebrity. It's really about that narrative, the trauma narrative.
Yes.
So makeup can be self-soothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're coming out and that's your trauma. I have other childhood trauma that I'm still processing that is something that no one really should ever have to process. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, you develop a lot of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
The empathy that you need to show up every day in front of a camera and serve a community. So I'm grateful for those experiences for that.
Yeah.
The empathy piece. But the protection and the safety and the, again, makeup can be the vehicle for you to connect with yourself.
Because
the biggest reason we all have the feelings that we have about ourselves is generally because we're saying those things to ourselves.
Yes.
Like, we're our own worst enemies. So, and I know we've like, it's funny because we go from funny and like to super serious and to super deep and heavy, but no joke, yesterday I said to Christina, I want to get 2 tattoos on my wrist for every decade of my life, because I didn't learn to love myself until the third decade, the 30s. So I want 2 empty hearts on my left wrist for my 10s, 20s, and then the 30s.
Yeah.
And the third heart is going to be full.
Yeah.
It has to be full.
Yeah.
Because it has to remind me to check in with myself.
Yeah.
And that's what makeup always did. And that's definitely what makeup can do if people learn how to use it that way. So the truth is, though, nobody wants to think about it like that. It's too heavy.
Yep.
Mm. Nobody wants to open up TikTok and be like, I suffer childhood trauma, so I'm going to use my makeup to heal.
It's totally.
Like, it's too deep. It's too heavy. It's too much. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's been about, honestly, teaching them how to walk first, which I say all the time, right? Totally. And that's the product education.
Yeah.
Give them what they want, and then we're going to do what we want.
Yeah.
In little tiny subtle bits, ways, because they can't handle a giant bite. And I'm not saying that to belittle anyone in our community.
Yeah, no,
I couldn't handle opening TikTok and taking a big bite out of my history.
Yeah,
I'm still, you know, chewing and digesting.
Yes,
yeah.
And this is my life that I've gotten to live with.
Yeah.
So I think in that spirit, once we collectively elevate this beauty consciousness, which we talk about all the time,
we call it beauty literacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Once everyone's beauty literate, they're going to crave the next harder version, right? It's bigger than the capitalism. It's bigger than the money. It's bigger than the billions. It's bigger than pride. It's a duty to people, like as healers on a platform. Because this is, if you're in the queer community subset of creators, you're healing people.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Whether or not you want to.
You're healing the feminine, really.
Yeah,
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's healing the feminine.
You're totally right. Yes. Because that was always, and I think as gay men, we always realized that. I had that kind of light bulb when I was very young. I had to be in my early teens. And I was like, wait, I was like, people aren't homophobic. And by that, I mean, I'm exclusively speaking of gay men and the gay male experience. I was like, oh, people don't hate gay men. they hate femininity.
Yes.
They
yes.
hate yes. women.
That's what they're antagonizing.
I had that correct. Realization yeah. when I was 12 because mm-hmm. I was like, everything you're scrutinizing me for is a feminine attribute. And then yeah. I looked up and I go, oh, you're also doing it to the women that have that, who are doing that and mm-hmm. expressing themselves that way. One of my first best friends who was a lesbian and she was very masculine mm-hmm. presenting, we always used to analyze it and say, like, it was that from the lesbian standpoint, it was, how dare you think you can enter this realm of masculinity and present yourself that way and yeah. look this way. And then for gay right. men, it's this onus of, who are you to be born with the privilege of being a man? And, you know,
choose,
what are you
to
doing?
Squander it.
Waste it. Exactly. Yeah. You were born into a patriarchal society. Eat right. up.
Yeah.
And then
it goes back to placing people in these narrow exactly. black and white little boxes yes. that no one was ever designed to fit into.
No.
And it goes back to the whole collective societal experience, even on TikTok.
Yes.
Everything was sensationalized as you're wrong and you're right.
Yes.
The rise of the chemists. Ending the misinformation on TikTok.
Yes.
Only to bring out a reality of black and white, and that's just never what it is.
Yes.
You know, every
without
major.
And the science evolves.
The science yes. evolves, and it's evolutionary, and also it's never just that simple.
Never. Exactly. Yeah. But you're so, you've spoken to it so much, and you're hitting the nail on the head of, like, what is a better equalizer than art mm-hmm. and expression? Like, it's music and mm-hmm. fashion and beauty and makeup and
color.
And
it's
exactly.
doing it with empathy exactly. is the equalizer.
Because
right?
I think a lot of the times your inspiration for art comes from empathy. Mm-hmm. That is such a big part of it.
Totally.
And it starts to make everybody exactly go like this and get on that level playing field of appreciating the expression for what it is, rather than why do we need to judge where the starting was, the baseline? Just get to where you are and how you want to express yourself yeah. and live in that plane.
And we could have our own pride this year.
I know.
If they want to keep it canceled.
I was benchmarking my own success for, I had blown up as quickly, and it's very overwhelming to, like, even what the hell's going on? How do I do this? You know, we talked about that, but I thought there was going to be some stability at some point, and there isn't, because of this aspect of being, I think, a gay male creator. And it was, I almost having the educational experience and being a makeup artist for so long at the counters and in the world,
by the way,
totally,
but I'm going to hold my thought.
Totally. Was I was almost waiting for the industry to see me.
Yes.
Where then there was that thing. And it was for so long now, it's been that thing of, you know, and we've talked about it, but girls I love, I'm friends with, they're amazing. You know, with 1/3 the following, and seeing for years now them getting opportunities that you're not being seen. I almost, based on this conversation, so thank you for the free therapy, it almost needs to be there. Almost in my mind, I realize there needs to be a reframing of, who am I doing this for?
Oh, totally.
Because
I
don't think I ever allowed myself to do this for me. I only ever did this for them. Mm-hmm. And for the industry.
It can be for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's got to be for you first.
I never even really, like, kind of articulated to myself
sure.
why I was really even doing this. Because
our powerful.
Similar stories, it happened out of nowhere, out of necessity, because it was COVID. I couldn't find work. I put a towel on my head and went viral. And I was like, okay, I got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And I never even digested why I love doing
it. You didn't have
it.
Time.
No.
You know, I think for content creators that have been doing this a while, because how long have you been doing this now? It's been since 2021.
February of 21.
Yeah. Which is, you know, really not that long ago, but when you think about technology and how fast things go, it is a long time ago. It's like dog years almost, right? Like,
God,
21. Yeah.
Sometimes it's fleeting, though.
3 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, 2 years? Yeah, three.
Yeah.
3 years. Yeah, it's 2024.
Not
right?
4 years. Like, no. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
We can't count on beauty content creators. But I would imagine that it gets so difficult to rediscover your own authentic voice and to continue to evolve, because then there's like, who am I? Am I who my community wants me to be? Yes. Right? Especially when you have to stick to a certain narrative, right?
Absolutely.
Or like, am I me? Like, who am I anymore?
Yeah.
You know, that can get tough.
Element of like,
there's the algorithm too.
The algorithm shifts.
That's a whole other thing.
And we've gone through like a few algorithm shifts. We're just like, what's going on? Like, this video would have totally gone viral.
Yes.
You know, like, it's interesting.
We can now transition to the portion of the episode where we therapize what it means to be a content creator in 2024.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's so important, I think, to think about who you're doing this for. Because like, I think about our community all the time. I know Alexis does, but like, I also, for me, I think about the students I used to teach who now like see me on TikTok with my wife and I couldn't be out to them. Mm-hmm. Right. Remember?
Yes.
So like now it's so powerful. Like we ran into one of them in Target other day. Like, Miss Boss, yes, I saw you on my For You page the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, seeing your English teacher on your For You page.
No.
But like, it's crazy. Beauty influencer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then like they reach out over Instagram DM, some of them on LinkedIn now. They're just like, I'm so inspired with what you're doing. Yeah. Like, keep going. And I think about them.
Yeah,
you
I know. Yeah.
Like, just about where things are going and the state of like the creator economy too. Like there's a new opportunity for you. You don't have to work that 9 to 5 if you don't want to. You can create art based on your experience or what you're passionate about and put it on the internet and you could make a life for yourself.
Yeah.
You could do something else, showing that there's a different opportunity out there for them.
To put makeup on.
Totally.
To put makeup on. We get paid to put makeup on.
I know.
Still.
Yeah. Or educated about makeup.
Yes. But also,
it's deeper than just putting it on.
It is. Yeah. But like, and this is where I want to like keep it simple.
Yeah.
In that a piece of what brands pay us to do. Mm-hmm. And this is what I meant by we get paid to put makeup on. Brands pay us to put products on and educate on them.
Yeah.
But you have a superpower that a lot of other content creators don't. How many faces of makeup do you think you've done in your career? Give a rough number.
Thousands. Yeah, I mean, over 1,000.
How many content creators can say that?
Yeah.
Because I did the math
only for
once.
Themselves, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Doing makeup on yourself is not doing makeup on other people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And retail too. And you said it's very different than like runway.
Yeah.
It's
wild, I've always said to people, I'm like, everybody needs to work retail or in a restaurant to learn how to be a human and learn humility because it's like, I feel like people that have worked retail or even know somebody maybe that have done it, but if you work in a restaurant or any kind of service industry, it should be mandatory.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing 5 days a week, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
An average of 5 faces a day, an average. Okay.
Yes.
And that's, I'm talking about like department store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sephora must be like 10 or 15 because you're doing quicker.
Yes.
The department store, you take them out to dinner. Sephora, you're going for a drink.
An alleyway hookup.
I'm like, next.
Exactly.
So, I have the deli counter numbers and I'm like, 64. Let's go. Come on.
I think it's really important that you remember that you're a makeup artist for other people.
Yeah.
Totally.
You have a bigger studio space, right? What's stopping you from bringing a model in once a week?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's
is
like,
is there anything?
Maybe, honestly. I'm realizing how much I've set a finish line for myself where the industry seeing me was going to be a thing. And I think it's created a lot of resentment for me because it's like,
that's fair.
For metaphor's sake, I'm going to overblow it just to get the metaphor across. Obviously, this isn't the case, but there's an element of it where when I see the beauty industry's tepidness to include gay male creators in their space, there's so many times I sit down and I say, I love this for this reason. I love this for the reason I'm going to help people. But at the end of the day, and this is the metaphor, I feel like I'm giving free advertising day in and day out to Chick-fil-A. I go, you don't, who like they're laughing all the way to the bank and I'm struggling still where I'm like, because of that, having to work twice as hard. And but I think what the moral of it all of what we're talking about is I hope, because you said something brilliant before about we need to consider middle America. And when we started really talking that way on this podcast, we had so many comments of people saying, I'm Lisa, I'm 60, I live in Oklahoma, and I would only buy makeup from you to suggestion.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think the beauty industry underestimates, I think they underestimate how progressive people are in this country, especially beauty consumers. They're still stuck in this mentality, more of a middle America mentality than I think middle America is. These women are going, we're fine with it.
But do you know how many people also don't have access to Sephora?
Yes, exactly.
Like, think about that for a second. Like,
absolutely.
We're talking, like, We're so spoiled in New York.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're so spoiled. There's a Sephora.
Oh, God. I get hit in Ulta and I throw a, yeah.
And Jersey, yeah. Right? Yeah. Ulta's, like, you know.
Absolutely.
The point being that everyone is going to have a different entry point to this world. And whatever that is.
Yeah.
I think that there's a world where if you wanted to, you can, you know, be when you're ready, though.
Yeah.
Once you reconcile whatever it is, the mm-hmm. resentment piece.
Yeah.
You always have to lead with love.
Yeah.
Because resentment, whether it's towards the brands or towards the industry.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, it's biting the hand that feeds you, right?
Totally.
In a sense. Mm-hmm. I think reconciling the resentment a little bit, and I think like being vocal about what you can do for brands
mm-hmm.
will take you a really long way.
Yes.
When I think about all the amazing opportunities and all the incredible things I've gotten to do, right? Like, I don't know if it's FOMO is mm-hmm. the right word, but there's so much information that's not, you know, public in this industry, whether it's what people are getting paid, whether it's mm-hmm. who gets invited to events, who gets invited to brand trips. Nobody ever has an insider scoop or insider understanding. The politics inside the beauty industry and the creator culture, it can be really, really isolating for individuals that are by themselves.
And we're still getting used to it.
I don't feel like we've been slighted, or I don't feel isolated, but I find it fascinating.
Yeah. We're just like, what's that episode of Mean Girls? Like, that they're like watching the whole scene. It's like the zoo, right? That's how it feels for us.
Also, I remember starting this journey. I'm turning 37 in a couple months. Like, that's happening. That's wild to me. I don't even think people would want to watch me if they knew how old I was. But I'll tell you how old I am because I have to. Because hell,
you have
that's
nothing
the truth.
To hide. Well, you're very authentic. Yeah. You know? And that's one of the things I realized when I first met you. I was like, this is the most authentic person I ever met. And it was like jarring to me, you know, like that someone could be that authentic.
But being yourself and being that radical about being yourself, including speaking your truth about this and working through it. What does that look like?
Yeah.
You can work through this in a public forum.
Totally.
In any way you want to help heal this issue. Because whether or not it was, you know, the James Charleses of the world that were the first faces of CoverGirl.
Exactly.
There are boys in beauty.
Yes.
Lots of them. And there's lots more that want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you still started something and you can't just give up now.
Yeah.
They weren't ready for you then. Why should they be ready for you now? They're never going to be ready.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to make them ready.
You have to make them ready. Any more than they're ready for a 37-year-old, you know,
lipstick lesbian
couple. Sorry, Christina's 2 years younger than me. But
she never lets me forget it.
Any more than they were ready for us.
Yeah.
And nobody knew what to do with us in the beginning. It was hilarious.
Yeah. They used to like pitch us an idea. We're like, what the hell? Tell us what you want.
I cannot even imagine. Yes. I can't even imagine.
They didn't know what to do. And they still, there's so many ways that I think we can help shift, you know, the influencer industry. Because this model, we're basically human advertising agencies.
Exactly.
And every day we're expected to come up with a new ad, technically.
Yeah. And the truth is we won't do an ad unless it's something that we vet, that we believe in, that we would recommend to our friend.
Absolutely. You know,
because like,
but we are the modern day advertising agencies.
Absolutely.
And nobody hated on advertising agencies.
Yes.
But if there's value that is being brought to the beauty community, it needs to be put out there.
Exactly.
That's true. It's about value. It's a value exchange for sure.
It is.
Yeah.
And think about how many
healing the feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, how many free pieces of content you've put out. We did the math the other day on this. You know,
I mean, thousands. We were putting out three pieces of content a day.
It's thousands of pieces of content.
My Sephora skits alone, I've written 6 seasons of television. Like, if you add them all up.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that's an invaluable skill set that no one's going to take away from you.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one.
Yeah. And you could always evolve. I think that's another thing too. Like, we don't know where this journey is going to take us, and we don't know how we're going to evolve after this. Like, this is your one for us.
Yeah.
What is your 5 going to look like?
You know what's fascinating? And I almost want, I'm going to text you when it happens, because I felt when I went through my first year blowing up with the comedy skits, I always say I think of content creation, and it happens to me every year in the realm of, I think of it like seasons of TV, where I'm like, my season 1 was the comedy skits, my season 2 was the comedy skits, but then it was this, and it was bringing this in and fleshing this out. And I think he's dealt with how many phone calls that I've called him and having this conversation where I'm like, I don't know where to go with it. And now we're almost experiencing our, you know, how
season
we
3.
Need to navigate with this. And I think that's where you're at when you do this online is you almost, I need to figure out what my season 3 looks like. And it's interesting because, yeah.
Ask your community what they want.
Exactly. Totally.
Because they're the ones that are watching and keeping the lights on, right?
In absolutely. A sense too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you only do what they ask for, right?
Yes.
Because they also don't know what they want until you give it to them.
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't want this to end. I know. Well, oh my God, I love you. But can you be my mom's?
Yes.
Me. Yeah.
Okay, so we don't want to let you go from here. I know you guys are going to be just as sad because they have wanted y'all's name has by far been the most.
That's so sweet.
Really?
That's
oh so my God. Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we are always preaching about the education aspect and the amount of comments of you guys and the Lipstick Lesbians would like make my life.
Like bridge our gaps.
Yes, because they love you guys on, and I can't tell you as well, they're on YouTube, people who are predominant TikTokers, Instagrammers, etc. YouTube audiences don't like them. You guys are by far, you transcend platforms. It is that people are
that's
rabid,
really
and you guys do have, obviously you have your YouTube presence, but
you
are,
you have to go back to that
by far
focus. Yeah.
You guys are, everyone go subscribe immediately. It'll be in the description box, even on Spotify.
And
Apple
tell
podcast.
Us what you want to see on YouTube.
Yes.
More long form.
I know
you
we
guys
have to.
You transcend platforms, and that speaks so volumes sweet. As someone that's on multiple, because that don't, they don't, most people don't transfer easily. So, you know,
thank
but
you.
Before we release you from being held hostage, is there A, tell people where to find you, but B, is there anything you want to like last thoughts or want to get across to anybody? Things you're doing?
You have things we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Things we're doing.
Girl.
Let's talk about the course.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, okay.
So it's been a journey. Yeah. Now, if we talk about year one, season one. Yeah. Season one, we did a very small, what's called like an alpha course, digital course.
Yes. Uh-huh.
We learned a lot in doing that. And we're coming back kind of stronger than ever. And we built curriculum. Christina has kind of scaffolded this curriculum around
it's
a
very
product
thorough.
Development course.
Yes.
Very thorough.
We're basically, you know, calling it, product development mastery. If you want to become a consumer genius.
Yeah.
But it's also great for folks working in the industry as artists. It's great for folks working in the industry in a retail capacity.
People who want to accelerate their careers.
People that
break
really
into
want
to
accelerate
right.
their careers. Because that is the number one thing that was requested.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a basically like a, I almost 15 week kind of style curriculum, but it's going to be static as in you can do it at your own pace.
Love.
There will be, you know, a paywall, of course, mm-hmm. but the idea is that this information shouldn't be kind of that readily accessible all over the internet because it's taken us months and crazy amounts of time to put this all together.
And we partnered with like behind the scenes in the beauty industry, like top cosmetic chemists, regulators, like it's
and like
it's
to
good.
Bring these pieces together and to give you a baseline of where to start, because this is never, it's not only never before seen footage in sense of like what we're going to bring to life, but it's never before taught curriculum.
Yes.
It's never been put together and packaged this way.
Yes. It's so really cool.
That is exciting.
That's what we focused on a lot.
Everyone has been asking, to be honest. Another comment that has come up repeatedly can you please have an online course?
Yes.
Like, I would love to have a masterclass by you.
Yeah.
And we've been working on that a lot. It's been a lot of like thought and like scaffolding and everything.
Iterating and just like, this isn't good enough. We need to go better.
So we're really close. We're thinking like May.
I'm hoping
April,
it's
May.
My birthday present.
Amazing.
But if you go to the lipsticklesbians.com, there is a sign up and you can get early access.
Okay.
And you'll see some of our kind of branding because we have some of that. It's also on YouTube too, our branding.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's there. We're getting our branding and our SEO together. This is season two. But the course is really exciting. We're the most excited about that.
That's
for sure.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, lipsticklesbians.com is the place to find us. The newsletter will join with that.
Totally.
And the newsletter will help people also just digest a little bit more of a summary of what we've been doing all week, right? Or all month on our platforms.
And then you're the Lipstick Lesbians on TikTok and Instagram.
And Instagram and YouTube.
Don't forget the though, because it gets weird.
The one and only.
Totally. Oh my God. And I know half y'all are here on YouTube, so hop right over after this. My God, I love you both so much.
Yes. We love you guys too.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to subscribe to the channel to get your video episode one day early on Sundays. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. We love you wherever you are. We hope you are happy, safe, and healthy.
And remember,
you are beautiful.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.